ready? Okay, I'll call this meeting of the Annexation and Zoning Committee to order. You have present committee members, Katie Capellini, Sandy Hussman, and Mark Lukey. We also have Mark Frye with us, and Kevin Aller and Bill Sanford. And of course, esteemed counsel, Leslie Brennan. Oh yeah, and Jason.
Oh yeah.
Sorry, Jason. Jason Mishka's here too. The only one who's not here is Mary. Okay. Okay, the first thing we're going to talk about is a relatively simple change to the zoning code regarding signs and wall signs and how we calculate those. And then we're going to move on and talk about some potential modifications to the sign code relating to banners and flags. And then we're going to talk briefly about tiny houses. So with that, I don't know if you guys saw this before. I know Leslie forwarded it to me before, and I think we talked about it before. Our current sign code establishes the size of a wall sign, and the regulations state that the wall sign shall be, the square footage will be equal to 1.6 times the lineal foot frontage. Well, apparently that has raised some issues about what lineal foot frontage consists of, and whether it consists of the entire property or just the building itself. We meant it to refer to the building, but it's been pointed out that that's maybe not clear. So we have three changes to the language in regarding the type, the size of wall signs in B2, B3, and B4 districts, changing the language to the square foot, to limiting the size to the square foot equal to 1.6 times lineal footage of the building facade, to clarify that. I think that's what was always intended. It's been a long time since we worked on this sign code. I didn't realize how long ago it was. It seemed like yesterday, but it was a long time ago. And I think that once I figured out what we were doing, I mean, this is a very non-controversial, I think, and it's just a clarification of what I think we always intended anyway.
Correct, and that's how we have been calculating it, always using the building facade. It was just challenged by a new business coming into town, and so that's when we realized that they did have a good argument and we should clarify our code.
I mean, we spent a lot of time on this.
Not at this level.
When we were...
We spent a lot of time on the sign code.
Yeah, on the sign code. When we first were on council, I can't believe that was 11 years ago. Wow.
So
anyway.
Just out of curiosity, what technically is the facade of the building?
Well, I think we've always... Jeff, I think you... You, or Kevin. I was talking with Jeff when we did it last time. Jeff knew what it meant. I don't know why you don't, Kevin. Sorry.
We basically go corner to corner, if you will, front of the building.
The front being the part that's addressed by the post office.
I'll say yes, but a corner parcel could be...
Well, that's why I'm asking.
Yeah, corner parcel could be different. So it's the facade of, it's the facade that the sign is going on.
Okay.
So, okay, yeah.
So for instance, the building where, that we just sold, there's a narrow part of the building, and then there's the part that goes back on Maple. It's dramatically wider than the front part.
Mm-hmm.
So for someone who wanted to hang the sign, put a sign on the building on the side road on Maple, mm-hmm. or Maplewood, that sign would be based upon that lineal footage.
Correct.
And vice versa for the frontage.
For the Main Street.
For the Main Street,
yep.
Sign.
Correct.
Okay.
And that's the way we've always done it and interpreted
it.
It
seems reasonable. I just wanted to make sure I understood.
So are you wanting
Well, we have legislation to move this forward, and I guess I would entertain a motion to advance legislation to tonight's meeting to correct this portion of our sign code.
So,
all in favor?
Aye. Do we have that legislation? This time?
More important for you to have it to me right now.
Oh.
I'm on the committee technically.
Okay. Now I have it. These aren't all mine though, are they?
Yes.
Oh, this whole pile is mine? Oh. Well, let me catch up here.
You're done when you've read about them.
Okay. All right. Moving along.
Okay. So we'll do that tonight. All right. Good. Okay, the second thing I thought we'd talk about, and Leslie, I'm going to let you talk about this because I went through the code, and we do address banners and flags and pennants in the code, so maybe you can talk about what you want to accomplish.
Sure.
Here.
Thank you, Mr. Hanum. In talking with Tim, we define pennants and flags and banners. They're defined, but they are treated as a temporary sign. There's nothing
right.
in the code that limits how long they can be up. So we've had a number of businesses along Monroe Street install those little feather-looking type banners in the front of their business and sandwich boards, and there's just nothing in our code that currently provides regulation for them, so we were just hoping to get some guidance, get your input. If you would like to continue to leave them unregulated, that's fine, but they are popping up more and more, so we just wanted to bring it to your attention and
okay.
get your input.
I thought we did regulate. What I didn't think we re-regulated were the sandwich boards. But I thought flags and temporary flags, temporary and special event signs were regulated, and they have to get permits.
If it's an event, they do. But if it's just says their name, they can be, they're just a temporary sign. Which
yeah, but temporary signs need permits too. Okay, let's go back and look. Okay, I'm not telling you you're right. Because we had to change this.
Correct.
So right now, temporary signs can be displayed for not more than a year or such other period as specified herein, and only so long as they look good. So what you want to add to this is 30 days?
Yeah, I just provided a couple of examples of how others can handle it, but if you think you should impose a time limitation or, we don't have a recommendation as far as the number of days, but it...
Okay, well, let me make sure I got this right. Temporary signs do need permits.
Correct.
And when we issue the permits, do we put any temporal limits on their display?
No.
No.
So there's nothing that makes it temporary?
Right.
That's
well,
not temporary.
Well, there's a one-year limit. There is a one-year.
There's a one-year limit, but they could take them down for a day, come in, and reapply for another one-year permit.
Yeah, plus, a year seems not temporary.
Right.
Right.
Right. And the reason that was changed a few years ago, so we can keep that for some of the signs. We can keep the temporary one-year permit for political signs. But we can just define, carve out an exception for banners and flags and pennants, which is how other cities, I think, have kind of, it was an unintended consequence of when we had to amend our code when we had the law.
Do we charge a fee for the permit?
It's minimal.
I think it's 25 for temporary. For temporary.
Yeah.
So you're talking about separating the ordinance so that feather flags are one thing and then banners that are hanging on a building are something different. I just want to figure out what we're...
That I would
like, for an
like
example,
to kind of keep them all together, but
so
if you want to separate them, that's fine, because I think that's going to be...
So for example, on the side of Ace, there's that like paint can sign.
Right.
That's been there for like years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's temporary.
Do they have a permit for that?
So on the Monroe side of Ace Hardware, there's a long banner and it's advertising their brand of paint. So I'm just curious if we're talking about that together with the feathers. I mean, I'm just trying to figure out how this is all going together.
They're all in the same definition currently. If you wanted to treat them differently, we could create another define them differently.
And then you were saying other cities do what?
Keep them all together.
Mm-hmm.
But do you see it as a temporary sign because of the material and the way it's hung?
Because it wasn't approved by planning commission, right? I mean, if it's approved by... No.
No.
If it's not approved by planning commission, then it's temporary, right?
It's considered temporary.
Okay.
Well, but they still need a permit.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
So if it's so they need a permit, and the permit is issued by... By zoning.
What do other cities do in terms of time frame?
30 days.
Mm-hmm.
Not more than 30 days in a one-year period. So if you wanted to have them up for a month every year, you could do that. That's how the other cities that I've looked at have handled it.
I feel like maybe a couple years ago there was a really big one hanging on the side of Hervey, like around the Christmas season. So that.
Right, and if that would be, if they just want to put it up for December, maybe that's fine, you know. In the bike shop at the beginning of the season, maybe that's okay.
Why did we not exempt political signs from the 30-day limit and leave the 30-day limit otherwise in place?
I don't remember.
Was that the freedom of speech thing?
Yeah. I didn't have a chance. I got this late and I didn't research that, but what I'd rather do, because our current code talks about flags and corporate, you know, how we do flags. We already got that covered generally. We've got some banners, if we want to regulate some additional kinds of banners, we could, we currently regulate street banners, promotional banners, and ornamental banners. And banners do have time limits on them. A promotional banner can only be displayed for 60 days, and the street banner is the, you know, very specific. So if there was another kind of banner we wanted to do, and that's all in 1166.07. So now we don't allow sandwich boards unless somebody's wearing it. if you wear a sign, you're exempt from our code. Temporary signs that people wear, carried by a person, a sign carried by a person.
And the oil change.
Yeah, the oil change guys. Yeah, those guys are exempt. But the sandwich board that you set up in front of your, on the sidewalk, that's not, those are not permitted under our current sign code. So do we want to permit those?
It's your call.
I think we already have some.
We do.
We have one in Maine.
But if we had a murder, we wouldn't legalize murder. It's not the same thing. I understand that. But the point is, do we want...
Well, you know, that your
the
point
sandwich
is right.
Boards.
Yeah.
That there's a visual clutter element here that we should be regulating. And just because one guy has it doesn't mean it's a good idea for everybody to have it. You know, I wonder, Doug, if this doesn't really require a more comprehensive look at this section of the code. I mean, you've raised, you've collectively raised three or four issues about it. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't seem to have a lot of best practices built into it right now.
Well, I think what we had was, what I mean, we spent a lot of time and we got there. I think we decided we didn't want sandwich boards.
Yeah.
11 years ago.
Right, and now we have.
Yeah, and yeah.
A year's duration for a temporary sign seems like an inappropriate.
And we did that as a result of the settlement of the lawsuit. Well, what I'm trying to remember is whether the law prohibited us from limiting this to political signs because it was content-based. In other words, could we not limit commercial speech any more than political speech? And was that why we don't have a 30-day time limit? And did these other communities that have a 30-day time limit, did they not have the benefit of being sued in federal court over their sign code? So I think before we go...
There's that.
Huh?
There's that. Right.
So before we change that to 30 days, I think we need to go back and...
Well,
I got something.
It couldn't include commercial. I mean, like putting
yes,
you know,
it could.
Soup 50 cents isn't the same as saying vote for me for whatever. I mean,
you would think there's. I think the law on this is a little stickier than you're representing. Commercial speech is also protected under the First Amendment.
Well, then we could just have clutter all over everything.
Well, yeah. That's right. What's your point?
Well, here. that is my point. But I do have throw this in the mix. Veterinarian place, right, at Haroon, they have four new, nice-looking feather. The right name? Okay, four of those. So there's that four temporary signs, and he has to have permission for $100 worth if that.
You tell you, I would have to take a look because there's also a limitation on the number based on property size and that kind of stuff. So I don't, not knowing his properties.
Well, yeah, I don't. It's pretty big, but
I don't know for sure. But
yeah,
there's a limit on how many.
We have that in here someplace.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's here
that
now.
But they didn't even exist back then.
Well, there's a temporary sign that says
so
how big.
That's my point. Is each one of those then a separate temporary
yes.
sign? Okay. That's the point I was really making, but, you know.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking of. So basically, we
temporary
need to
signs
figure out what's legal.
Temporary signs requiring a permit shall be limited in size to 9 square feet in residential zoning districts and to 50 square feet in other zoning districts.
Those are...
That's large. It's, you know, 50 square feet is basically a sheet of plywood, if you, you know, it's 14.
Yeah, so those temporary signs are not permittable under our current code. So they probably don't have permits.
You mean, my guess is they probably don't.
Better ones?
Not four of them.
Well, a lot of places that put them out, put out many of them. They don't just usually put out
okay,
just
well, we
one.
Decided we didn't want that.
Well, that, well I'm just saying.
And we have a regulation that says you can't have that.
Yeah.
We have that already. That's my point. These, when you get into these are pretty good. I mean, we didn't take this, it took us a year and a half to do. So we didn't want four feather signs on in front of the pizza place. Now the fact that they're there only means that we haven't enforced our code.
Well, that's how
and do we want, so we I don't think we I don't remember seeing a feather sign before we adopted this code.
No.
I know they're you know, we also didn't have the waving air man. Those clearly violate our sign code. Okay. Right. The man who's, or the guy holding a sign saying, we're available now for an oil change, or you can get your tax return done here, that's okay. But you couldn't set up a tent sign in the public right of way.
Right. Well, where do we want to go with this? So we certainly think that there are some tweaks that need to be made, clarifications or not.
Okay, Leslie says yes. We need to give. Well, here's the problem. We have a lot of temporary signs around town that do not comply with our code. That's the problem, right? So the issue is, are we concerned about those? Do we want to maintain those? And if we want to maintain those, then we have a problem. Then we have to amend our code, or we're just abandoning, we're just a lawless township.
Township?
That's right, life on the frontier.
Right. Because townships only have revised code, they can do zoning, they can do signing codes. So. But anyway, so that's the issue. I had not really identified signs as a big problem. I think if we had people slapping signs on light poles, we would get after those folks. So we have an enforcement issue. So Kevin, what are the problems there, you know?
We have, most of the people are pretty cooperative when you stop in and say, you know, talk to them about whether it be the feather flags or sometimes you'll see they call them realtor type signs where they're, you know, advertising special of the day or what have you. And most of the time people are pretty compliant. They're like, okay, no problem, we'll get them out. But there are situations where we get in and try to get those reduced and the business doesn't want to do that. And, you know, all they have to do is point down the road or, you know, it says, no, wait a second, I can have this up for, you know, I can have it up for a year. That wasn't the intent for some of these things, but that's what it's become in some of the locations. Do we have a sign problem? I wouldn't say we have a sign problem, but it can get the development, the strip center at River Crossings and Monroe Street. At one point, there were about four businesses that all came in and opened up within a 4-month time span. It was turnover. And they all wanted to have their signs out front to advertise the grand opening, to advertise that they were looking for help, to advertise their specials. And those temporary signs were out there forever. And we finally got those reduced. We got them cut back. we're not out there measuring property frontage and saying, oh, you've got, you know, one too many feather sign out here or something like that. That we're not doing that unless we get a complaint of some sort. But where somebody comes in and puts 12 of these things up, and then they start becoming, possibly the condition starts coming into question, they become tattered and that kind of stuff, that's where the issues come up. And we've got, if we go in to try to make them do something, we don't feel that we've got real solid ground to make
them. My guess is that most of the ones that you have problems with, you don't have permits for.
In some situations, that is the case.
Because if they came in and asked for a permit, you'd look at the code and say, oh, you got more than 50 feet here, we can't do that. You got to, right?
Yeah, that's right. And is 50 feet, is that the right, do we still think that's a good number for a size?
I think that was based on, what's the size of a political billboard sign? Most of them are like, what are they?
3x6.
3x6. I never do big signs. I don't know.
That's 10x5.
It's a pretty big sign.
It's a big sign.
10x5 is a pretty big sign.
Mm-hmm. But if you have two,
right. It's the attribute.
Yeah. If you have two temporary signs that are 2.5x5 feet.
Are we okay with,
yeah.
Are we
okay
with that number?
So that's the, I'll tell you, I'm having trouble identifying a legislative role here without knowing better what the specific enforcement issues are. And if we were, if you told me we were uniformly enforcing the permit requirements and people are complaining that they need more feathered signs, then, you know, we could fix that if it was reasonable to do so. Same with, do we feel strongly about the tent sign, or what do you call it? We call it the
sandwich.
What is it?
Sandwich
board sign. We want those on all our sidewalks. I mean, our sidewalks aren't that wide. I mean, at least not in the downtown, and
it's the same thing. It becomes, if you have one or two, but who gets to have the one or two?
Yeah. On the other hand, if the Little Caesars wanted to have one there on Monroe Street, they could get a permit for a sandwich board as a temporary sign. We don't want to exempt those, I don't think, do we? No. No, we don't. I'm answering the question.
Do we limit the sizes of sandwich signs?
We have. 50 square feet.
That's a big sandwich.
It's a big sandwich board. Well, if it's, if it's 5 feet high and 2 feet wide, and that's not.
Big sign.
If it's 3 feet wide, and it can be 4 feet tall on either side.
I don't think we'd want that on Main Street.
I don't think
we're
we do.
We're already worried about.
I don't think we do either. That's why you have to get a permit.
To your point, would it be helpful to ask the administration to come back with some specific, a set of recommendations that specifically define what they think they'd like us to address? That, to me, that would put the burden on them to identify a problem. Mm-hmm. And also,
to that point, one thing that we do need to, just because we get the permit, right now, this can be up for a year. So, are we, that's.
Okay, that is a problem. I think we need to go back and look at the, let's go back and look at that.
Right.
At the, we ought to have been sued once. We don't need to be sued again.
No, I agree. So I'll go back and
research.
Yeah, I'll go back and research that.
But that's why it's not there, because we got sued.
Oh, I know, it was there.
Yeah. It was there. We had a very specific timeframe for political signs, remember? And we took that out. But, could we do? Could we put the time limit back in there? And then have an exemption?
Right.
For the time limit for political signs? While we were allowed to keep the size limitations. So, all we'd have to do is exempt the time period for the political sign.
And that was my question to the council, if you were okay with us looking at a time limit for those signs?
Yeah, I think we are.
Okay.
Less than a year.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Next, tiny houses. I didn't get to read the tiny house materials that are in your packet, but.
You just got it from us.
Yeah, I know.
Apparently also known as a dinky domicile, it says here.
Yeah, I've never heard that before. Okay, we all know about tiny houses because we've seen them on TV. You haven't seen them on television? Oh, they're phenomenal, man.
Well, okay.
Some of them are just friggin' phenomenal.
You've got way too much time on your hands.
No, I don't watch that much TV.
Well, there you go.
But I have,
You can follow them on Twitter, tiny houses.
It's a TV show. Look, just 'cause you're culturally behind doesn't mean that I have too much time on my hands. Anyway, these are very cool. People are out there building these, you know, really small, really actually nice living spaces in very small buildings. And if I were 24, it might be okay to live in one. I don't know.
I do understand that housing is an issue in some areas, and this is a good solution for that.
We think there, I think there's one, you mentioned, where is that one on?
Central.
Yeah.
It's in Toledo.
I thought that was a playhouse. That's a tiny house.
It's a tiny house, yeah.
Now that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise known as mother-in-law suite.
Right.
Or father-in-law suite.
Or you put a kid in there. So the kid has independent living space.
Yeah, now it's got solar panels on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I guess the question that I have is, initially at least, one of definition between what effectively would be an RV or a camper, mm-hmm. and what would be a tiny house. Because I'm not sure that I completely have an understanding of the differential, other than, you know, I've seen some RVs that are bigger than some people's houses.
Yeah,
we probably all have, but it's a little unclear to me as to what that definition is, and then whether, because what I've seen on television, tiny houses a lot of times are on wheels,
mm-hmm. they can be
which
moved.
Tells me that to some extent it's like an RV.
Exactly.
But
if it has some kind of permit or semi permit, mm-hmm. electrical meter or something like that.
Right. And then the question of water and, you know, sewer, you know, how does that get handled? Those are all things that are needing some complexity and definition for me as part of this.
Yeah, and I think before I got too far into researching and drafting some proposed legislation to create the district, I wanted to get your input as to whether or not that was something that you thought.
So that's the specific
issue on the table is
right.
To create a district?
Tiny houses currently are not permitted in the city as our code is.
Are they addressed in the code?
They're not. They're silent on it, so we kind of treat it as an accessory building.
Okay.
So,
it would be an outbuilding. In some places we do allow outbuildings, but we limit
right.
the ability to connect.
And resident.
Right, and it can't be residents.
Can't do that. So
the practical matter is you can't do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Our code doesn't address this. So that was kind of the reason.
Is something that's good for the city?
It strikes me it's an issue that we need to get ahead of.
Yep.
Right? And therefore has some consideration of this. But I don't see any particular sets of recommendations yet. And so, Doug, is this again an issue where we have?
Well, this is kind of an issue again where I think Leslie's asking, what do we think about this generally? And I think generally, I don't want my neighbors putting up tiny houses in their backyards.
Okay.
To accommodate their kids, generally. But there may be parcels in the city that would be appropriate for a tiny house, which would mean that we could designate it as a special use.
Yeah.
Requiring council's action to approve it in a specific instance. So that if somebody came up with a parcel where it made sense to have a tiny house.
Right.
So we would call that R1 half zoning?
No, we call it it's an R1 special use.
Well,
yeah, yeah.
Sure. I think to your point, if somebody has a relatively large city lot.
Right.
Upon which they build a house, I would not be inclined to allow them to put a tiny house on the same property for residential use, right, without subdividing the property.
Well, unless, you know, I mean, I don't know. You know, it depends on how it would impact neighbors and that kind of thing, how isolated it was. I mean, there are some odd lots where one might be appropriate. I'm trying to think of one.
Oh, yeah, Maine and Erie.
We had to make the lot shorter, smaller, and then it was too small for the owner to build a house, so now we own it.
Right.
Do we have anything that defines how many houses can be on a lot?
Yeah.
Is it one house per lot?
Yeah.
Right, so
R1. An R1.
Right, so the concern of having one in a small house, tiny house, the difference between small and tiny?
Yes.
On a property that already exists, which is already taken care of, right? But I do think that it makes sense to have something in there so that if it does show up, we're prepared for it. Because it does seem to be a trend that you're allowed to have.
This is the same concept as addressing the child adult daycare piece a couple months ago, right? We just want to stay ahead.
Yeah. And that's great. I appreciate your feedback, and I can do some more research and get some specific legislation for you to look at, get some samples, and we can keep moving forward with that.
Did we get a specific request, or are you just anticipating one's coming?
I've got a specific request.
See?
I think it's exciting. I think it's really great stuff to consider. It's progressive. It's forward.
Well, I mean, the fact is that society is changing radically in ways that we never could have envisioned 10 years ago, much less in 1964. And so I think we need to stay as far ahead of these things as we possibly can.
Well, the fact that there are millions of people watching them be built and renovated on TV means we're going to see them.
So what if someone wanted to have a tiny house development?
Other cities, Portland has a tiny house district. That's what other cities have kind of carved out, specific areas that, you know, maybe by words is an appropriate place. I'm not sure, you know,
supporting
that. And they just carve out a special district that could be an overlay or some sort of somehow.
They don't like line them up and put them right next to each other, do they? No.
In that area, if you bought a parcel, you could pull them back. That's how they're created.
Right.
But I guess I would rather have an area for them than, like, if a house burns down next door and the people that own the land want to put a tiny house on it next to my house, I'm not sure that that's going to do anything good for my property value.
I think there's so many different situations that we can imagine, and sometimes it can work and sometimes it doesn't, but I think we need to be flexible.
So could we ask the law department to look into this and come back with some recommendations, especially some benchmarking with some of our peer towns in Ohio. Doug, you okay with that?
Does quarantine at all create a problem at quarantine? So having a district, does that create a problem in terms of?
You're allowed to create districts for things, you can't get spot zones, but you can create districts in the same type of area.
And we would wanna make a difference between having an RV.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, the definition would be totally different, yeah.
Well, but if you had a permanent, if you had a permanent hookup, that would change.
We have a trailer, we can have a trailer.
Yeah.
Pull in a trailer, so, I don't know.
That will be all part of the research and regulations that come back there.
Okay, I think, Leslie, where we are is generally tiny houses, no, but we're open to maybe a site-specific consideration and what would we want in the requirements for that special use. Well, how would, what would we need to have a tiny house qualify for a special use designation? I think that's where we're at. We're not talking about a district because we don't have any place. Now, if we had acquired the Centennial Quarry and we had lots around the edge, that would be different. That would be cool, see?
What did you say?
That didn't happen. We're good. I think we're good. So I think we can, do we have anything else to talk about in our meeting? In our zoning committee? I don't think so. We've lost our participants, so. I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
And second?
Oh, second.
Second. Okay. We're adjourned.